The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Heaven and earth adore him. Angels bow before him. What a mighty God we serve. Father, thank you. Indeed, you are mighty. You're powerful. We thank you. Thank you for your omnipotent nature. Thank you for, we know you have the power, the ability to do all things. Thank you because there is nothing you cannot do. Thank you because all power belongs to you. This evening, we come in the power that in the name of Jesus, and we declare that no situation, negative situation, leaves this place the same. We receive in this meeting the manifest presence of Jesus, solving needs, opening people's eyes, and meeting different needs. Let nobody sick go home the same. Let nobody broken go home the same. Let nobody in trouble go home the same. Lay your hands mightily upon us this evening as we fellowship around your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's be seated. How are we doing? Glory to God. Yeah. It's like I've not been here for like, but I did. Amen. I really missed us. Amen. But I know we had a powerful time, right? Yeah, so that's why I'll go again. Well, it's a good thing we are here. Today, I will continue worship in spirit and in truth. Okay, if you remember, we've started off on a very powerful note in this series. On a very powerful note. Wow. We started off on a very powerful note in this series. We've been able to address what worship is. You know, when Jesus said to that woman, the Father seeketh those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. That's John chapter 4. Verse 23, we have been able to explain that does not mean people that lift their hands and roll on the floor. To worship in spirit and in truth simply refers to, you see, worship in spirit and in truth simply refers to the sacrifice of Jesus. Remember I would say that? Yeah, it refers to the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus said to that woman that a time is coming when you shall neither worship on this mountain or any other mountain. He said, but the location for worship has changed. It's now in spirit. What that means simply is worship will no longer be done in a physical location. And I explained to you that when worship wants to happen in the Old Testament, you have to go with an object. Remember that? An object for the worship. An object for the worship. Abraham and Isaac, we are going to the mountain, and Isaac asked Abraham, where is the object for sacrifice? Meanwhile, what Abraham told the other guys is, we are going to go and worship. And so, what worship was, actually was simply sacrifice. Amen? It was sacrifice. So, when we are singing and lifting up our hands, we said, we must come on account of the sacrifice of Jesus. And that is what we call worship in spirit and in truth. In Hebrews chapter 13, from verse 8, that's where I talked about that last week, maybe last time. Remember, I'll just start with that. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. He said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, in verse 9, he goes ahead to say, be not carried about. Watch closely with diverse and strange doctrines. He said, for it is a good thing that a heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. He talked about meats. When he talked about meats, he's talking about the Old Testament practice. It has not profited them anything. Now in verse 10, he goes ahead to say, we have an altar. Whereof they have no right to eat, which is the tabernacle. We have an altar. Verse 11, we have an altar for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought unto the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Verse 12 now brings in Jesus. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without. That's outside the gate. He suffered outside the gate. Just as the Old Testament sacrifices were. Let us go forth therefore unto him without a camp, bearing his reproach. Verse 14. Everybody watch closely. Verse 14. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Verse 15. By him. By who? By Jesus. By Jesus. And when he says by Jesus, what that means, by Jesus and what he has done. What has he done? The sacrifice he has offered, which is not the same with the animal sacrifice. He said, by Jesus, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. So our sacrifice of praise, our worship, is on account of what Jesus has done. Before your worship is accepted in the Old Testament, you have to bring a lamb, a sacrifice. Now we don't have to come with lamb because Jesus is our lamb. Amen? So when we say worship is spirit and the truth, what that means is we worship on account of what Jesus has done. So a believer is a worshiper. And I began to show you when we talk about praises last week, we began to look at different words used for that in the Old Testament. We saw a lot of words. We saw Barak, we saw Halal, we saw Tehillah, we saw Shabak and all that. All of them describing how we express our worship. But all these things will be on account of the sacrifice of Jesus. Are you still here? If you are still here, say amen. And so today, I'm going to start with that. Our sacrifice, our worship and praise to God should be on account of what he has done. Let me say this to you. Next week, I'll talk about singing more properly. I'm not touching singing a lot today. Next week, I'll talk about singing more properly. You see, what makes a song a Christian song is not that it was sang by a believer. Are you getting me? What makes a song a Christian song is not that it was sang by a believer. What makes a song a worship song, you see, is not that it was performed in church. It's not that they use church instruments. And it's not even the beats or the rhythm of the flow of the song. I said it last week. You don't realize that any song, any rhythm that was used for a secular song can also be used for a Christian song. I hope you know that. We could just change the lines. Anything, we can even take that worthy, you know, flow. That worthy, your Lord, to receive. We can turn it to any secular thing we want to turn it to. I get the point. And it doesn't now make it a Christian song because the rhythm is sounding churchy. Are you getting the point? So what makes something a Christian, what makes praise is the fact that what we are speaking forth, what Jesus has done. That's what makes any song worship or praise. That you are speaking forth or singing forth, I won't talk about singing a lot today, but you are speaking forth what Jesus has done. What Jesus has done. Okay? And calling him who he is. I'm coming to that shortly. You know, at that people, half of the time we say we are worshiping. We are not. We are not. Worship is to say what he has done. Worship is to say what he has done. Worship is to say what he has done. What he has done, whether in redemption or what he has done in our everyday life. Amen? Or who he is. Important is that worship, because sometimes we come to place of worship. You know, I'm looking for an example, but we can waste our time. I have not worshipped. Until we say what he has done, we can't call it worship. We can't call it praise. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, we see, I will touch this next week, we see an example of a worship song, so to say, that was sung in heaven, which John saw as a vision. But they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood of every kindred. Okay, by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Verse 10, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. You see, they were worshipping. What are they worshipping? What are they saying in their worship? They were saying what Jesus has done. Did you get what I said now? They were singing what he has done. So worship is about what Jesus has done. Okay? I'll start with his sacrifice. What he has done in his sacrifice. In fact, we can also sing about what he does in our everyday life and who he is. But I can tell you, 70% of your worship songs should border around what Jesus has done in redemption. Because that is the message of the Bible. Amen? Are you following what I'm saying? Real worship is when you are speaking, whether you are singing or you are saying it, about what Jesus has done in redemption. So you see, their worship was very direct. Thou art able to open the seal because you did this. You did everything about what he has done in redemption. So you have redeemed us to God out of every kindred and tongue and has made us kings and priests. That is what worship is. Are you following me? Now, I am not against calling God names. But I tell you, if you're going to call God names, make sure you call him who he really is. You understand what I'm saying? You can't just call God the name that comes to your mind. Once the name sounds very powerful, it sounds gengen, you just say, ah, that must be God. No. No, no, no. Hallelujah. I've seen some names that they call God, and myself, I'm shocked. I say, wow, now wow. You know, and I know everybody's trying to describe the almightiness of God. But at least say it well. Hallelujah. To be on the safer side, focus on what God has done for us in redemption. That is what worship is. I can show you over and over again. Okay, let me show you one or two places where Paul gave thanks. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we see Paul's thanksgiving prayer. And you will see how Paul gave thanks. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he had chosen us, yes, in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He's still giving thanks, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. He's talking about Jesus has done. That's his thanksgiving. You don't observe that? Lord, glory to God, for he has chosen us. Verse 6, and I said, and has made us to the praise of his glory, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. That's his thanksgiving. So his thanksgiving is around, in verse 7, still thanking God. You notice there's no full stop yet. In verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of, he was still thanking God. So his blessing is giving God thanks is basically about what Jesus has done. That is what worship is. That's what thanksgiving is. That's what praise is. Hallelujah. And that's why you notice that, you see, 80% of the songs we sing in this church is around that line. Everything is about what Jesus has done. You say, why? Is that the only thing that is in the Bible? That is the only thing. Every other thing stems from there. And so, in choosing, that's why you notice, it's very easy to impress me with songs. And so, I'll talk about songs next week. I'm not someone that you just start playing anything around and you just play keyboard and I shout, glory! I'm not like that. I want to hear what you are saying. No matter what you are playing. You know, some people are very good with the keyboard. If they strike it, you think the power of God has come down. Most times, it's emotionality, sensationalism. Nothing else. There's nothing else to it. I get the point. There's nothing else to it. So, what are they saying? What are they saying? So, we talk about what Jesus has done in redemption. That's worship. I'll show you one or two other places. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, we're still looking at Paul. We see him giving thanks again. We look at his thanksgiving prayers and worship and what have you. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Look at what he's thanking God for. Always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy. Verse 5, for your fellowship. Why is he thanking God? For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it. So he was thanking God for their salvation. Are you following what I'm saying? That's what thanksgiving, that's what real worship is. Hallelujah. And so if you're a songwriter, I'll touch this next week. If you're a songwriter, maybe next week or next week, and I thought, okay, I need this service next week, but I have one more service with you guys on Saturday. That one I called for the worship leader. Remember I said that? Yeah. If you are going to write songs, make sure, let your songs border around what Jesus has done in his redemption. I'm not saying you cannot write other things, so because when we talk about songs next week, I'll touch some other things. A song can be a prayer, you know, right? You can write prayer, you can write prayers, can be song, you can write thanksgiving and worship like we are talking today. We can even write about the power of God and the awesomeness of God and all that. But then, majority of what you sing, because once you keep feeding yourself with the right of who, what Jesus has done and thanking him because of that, you are keeping your head in the right condition. Are you following me? And so Paul, this was what he thanked God for. Okay, in which other place do we look at now? In, Colossians 1 now. Colossians 1 verse 3. Colossians 1 verse 3. His thanksgiving prayer was around what Jesus has done. He said, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the world. So it's taking God when they heard of their hope. So he began to thank God because of their faith in Christ Jesus. And so when Paul comes to pray, to do thanksgiving, before he begins to call God, before he begins to get all those names, he begins to thank God for what he did in his son. I don't know if you get the point. He begins to thank God for what he has done in his son in redemption. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. He said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I thank God because of the grace which is given you. Look at what that grace does in verse 5. That in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. That is what God has done for them. I get the point. In redemption in his son, that is what your worship should consist majorly of. That's what should be found in your worship. So you begin to thank him for what he has done in his son and for all the blessings we have in him, spiritual blessings. Talk about righteousness. You know, when you come to pray, you thank God for your righteousness. You can never finish thanking him. You thank him for your salvation. You thank him for blessing you with every spiritual blessing. We thank him for utterance. We thank him for his ability that works in us. If you listen to my prayers, they always go the same way. You must thank God for the things that he has worked out for us in Christ Jesus. These things, we can never exhaust them. And so you thank God for them. Hallelujah. Say thank you, Jesus, for salvation. Once again, say thank you, Jesus, for salvation, for redemption, for my forgiveness, for my righteousness. Hallelujah. So that's what you thank God for. So when we say, last week I was telling you, when we sing that Jesus is mighty, or he can do all things, before you begin to think of how he can open blind eyes, he does all those things. You must know that Jesus being mighty and being able to do all things, the highest manifestation of that was found in the resurrection of Jesus. Are you getting the point? I think it was in Habakkuk, I was telling them this. I've also said it here. That when we talk about God is powerful, everything about the power of God, see, God deployed every power he has to raise Jesus from the dead. To raise Jesus from the dead. Every power. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19, it tells us how God released. He said, and what is the exceeding? And I normally tell you, this is the verse that has the highest concentration of power in the New Testament. The terms uses are mad. Uses, what is the exceeding? Exceeding. Greatness. If you see these words in the Greek, you will run mad. Exceeding. Greatness of his power. Exceeding. Greatness. You see words like Cooper Ballon. You see words like Megatos. You see words like this. Everything found in this verse. And it says all this power, that everything was wrought in Christ in verse 20, when he raised him from the dead. So God mobilized all this power to be able to raise Jesus from the dead. That resurrection is what produced you. So you're a product of power. Right? You're a product of power. You're a product of the power of God. And so you're a reason to give God thanks. Do you get what I said now? See, Paul thanking God for them. You are a reason to give, because God displayed his almightiness in producing me. So I tell you what, worship basically is about singing and speaking of what God has done in Christ. It doesn't matter whether the song is fast or the song is slow, or whether it is rap, or whether you're not even singing at all. Some don't sing, they talk song. Amen. You know, Because we don't teach these things right, that's why you cannot worship if the church doesn't have instruments. So until they're playing, you say, let's worship. Lift your hands. They just play strings. And I say, oh, thank you, Jesus. You are not worshiping. You are responding to instruments, to music. Where real worship comes is when we are singing and you are thinking about what we are singing and we are singing about the resurrection of Jesus and what he has done for us and you lift your hands for that. That's worship. I don't get the point. You know when we started, when I started off as a Christian, we are not using instrumental. And that's why I tell you, I'm not someone that if I come as an instrument, say, how can we do this? Say, remove mic, remove light, bring lantern and candle. Power will move. I'm not telling you what I don't know. You say, have you tried that before? Very well, though. The first prayer team I ran in my life, early, we even grew to about 70, 80. It was a crowd, though. We used to bring lantern. And it's now I'm even thinking, how come it didn't even cross my mind so that I was using gen? It didn't matter. How do we get the point? It didn't matter. Worship is not this thing. As important, you know, I mentioned a part of worship last week where you use instrument. Remember I said that? Where you bless, you use instrument to bless God. I will still touch that today. But that is basically not what it is. It's about, even when this instrument is playing, what is it playing? I get the point. What is it playing? What are we singing to? And that is that. So when you begin to talk of what we have done in him, thank him for what we have in Christ Jesus. I also said you can thank God. Worship is also when you begin to speak about what he does for us in our everyday life. For instance, in as answers to our prayer. In Psalm 103 from verse 1 also, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. That's verse 2. In verse 3, watch. Don't miss this. Verse 3, he said, who forgiveth all thy iniquities? So he talks about forgiving all your iniquities. That's what God has done in Christ, right? That's a spiritual blessing. He also now said, who healeth all thy diseases? That's now is an answer to prayer. That's a physical reality now. Amen? You see what I'm saying? And he still said we should bless the Lord for that. If you get to verse 4, he said, who redeemed thy life from destruction? Who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? And it goes on and on. Who satisfied thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like that of the eagle? So you thank God for spiritual things. You also take time to thank him. And that's worship. So when we are in church and we are singing, what are we saying? If you say we are thanking God, what are you saying? What are you saying? That's what makes you worship. You know, in Luke chapter 17, verse 12, we see the story of Jesus healing 10 lepers. And I was studying that this morning and it really blessed me. 10 lepers, Luke 17, verse 12. He saw these 10 men. And they were leprous. And he said, go show yourself to the priest. You don't know the power that is found in that. You know, normally a leper should not appear before the priest. If you go there, you are dead. Amen. So Jesus said, go to the priest. Go to the priest. You know, let him examine you. You know, for them to turn their back and start going, it's because they believe the words of Jesus. Don't you think so? Now, on their way, all of them got healed in response to faith in the words of Jesus. And then, Bible, we know the story. Only one of them came back. Only one of them. And Jesus was pleased with that. Jesus said, why is it only one person that returned? Meaning he expected them to return. I get the point. So God expects that when he works a miracle or when prayers are answered or when we see the goodness of God in our life, that we come to give him thanks. Hallelujah. You know, I said this in this church. Don't be in a hurry to pray prayers if you will not be in a hurry to thank God for them when they happen. It's amazing. We come to church, we say, let's thank the Lord. And maybe we are not even singing. We say, let's lift up voice and begin to thank God. And we're just saying, Father, now begin to pray that contract, you're going to, oh, my karabate. The same. You don't have that energy again when it's time to thank him. And that's not good, though. That's why worship session in church, prayer session in church is beyond the time to dance. It's a time to reflect on the goodness of God and thank Him for them. I didn't get the point. Like when we begin to sing that God heals the sick, begin to reflect on the healings that has happened to you. Begin to reflect on how you are in good health and begin to thank Him for them. Don't just be singing. Make sure you are thanking Him. I get the point. We should build that culture of thanksgiving, worshiping God and all that. You know, in Ezra 3 verse 10, you know, I really like this. I underlined this on my note because I said, this is a culture that I really want us to have as a church. Where we begin to thank God for what people see as a normal thing. Look at what happened. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets and Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of the king of Israel. Verse 11, and they sang together by course in praise and giving thanks unto the Lord because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord. Why? Because they laid foundation. I didn't get the point. They laid foundation. People have said, ah, it's not foundation. You have not finished building house. I didn't get the point. And you're already giving thanks. That's how it is. When the Lord does things for you, don't take them for granted. Some didn't even start foundation. You started. You laid foundation. Rejoice! So they were shouting. They were excited because they laid foundation. And so we should be able to thank God and praise God for the things He does in our everyday life. It's part of worship too. Praise God. It's part of worship too. Maybe because of, let me just show you one epistle. 1 Timothy 4 verse 5. First someone say, ah, show us this in the epistle. Where did they thank God for things God did for them? Show us in the epistle. We like epistle. You should like epistle. Right? Is it 1 Timothy? Verse 4. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's start from 3. Okay, let's be here. He said, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be received, refused. He was talking about people that reject certain food. He said, every creature of God is good and it should be received. What did he say? If it be received with thanksgiving. So he expects that when they present food to you, how do you receive it? Do you understand the point? Why ordinary food though? You know, it's not food. Thank you God because of food. What are people that don't serve God? Don't they eat? No. Are you following me? You thank the Lord. Psalm 126, verse 1. He said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, He said, we are like them that dream. What this means is when God delivered them from bondage, He said, we were like them. So they were surprised. Look at what followed when the Lord did that for them. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the hidden, the Lord had done great things for them. And in verse 3, it says, the Lord had done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. So when He turns the captivity, thank Him, your mouth should be filled with laughter and with singing. So Sunday morning service, listen carefully, is beyond a time to just come and hear God's word and go. Why there is worship time in church is a time for you to reflect on the goodness of God over your life and thank Him for them. I get the point. It's a time for you to reflect. Why there is opening prayer, little before I begin to thank God, you begin to think about the goodness of God from redemption to your everyday life. That is what worship is. Worship is not that you're just forging names in your head and you're calling God anything. The fire that did this, that. The water that did this, that. The stone that... who gave you all those names? One yam that is, you know. Praise God. You guys really missed me. I'm back. It's my nonsense. Amen. Ofumbaja name of flood. What is you don't know it before. He said, but he's talking about the power of God. I'm not saying you are wrong. I'm just saying the most beautiful thing. Thank you for what He has done for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I'm going to tell people, some people think that God is like them or like their king. that when they are calling God all those names, God is just moving. Oh! Now come here. And I just trying to think they're trying to move God with those things. Just thank you for what he has done for you in his son. In redemption. So when they say, when we sing like we did this evening, who is like unto you? Oh God, you see, glorious, heavenly praises, always doing wonders. It's the time to begin to reflect on the wonders. You know who sang that song? Miriam. It was Miriam. Exodus 15. She sang it after God split the Red Sea. We'll talk about this next week. After God split the Red Sea and they passed and drowned the Egyptian, she now said, who is like unto you? She began to reflect on the wonders of God. I get to the point. So when God does great things for you, it's the time to sing, it's the time to thank him for them and to bless him for those things. You know, so you must have a culture of praising God and thanking him, worshiping him. As a matter of fact, I tell you, when you are in any day of your life, you are thinking what the will of God is for you. I have an answer. The will of God is not far-fetched. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18. It's not hard to know the will of God. What God wants you to do. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Simple. It is God's will for you to always give thanks. It's as simple as that. Yeah, sometimes when you say, I'm in a fix, I don't know what to do. The first thing, obey the Bible first. Before you begin to ask questions, Father, what is your will? Give thanks. Hallelujah. Give thanks first. Worship. Praise him. Talk about his work in Christ Jesus. Talk about what he does for us every day. Talk about the might of his power. Talk about how mighty and powerful he is. Talk about it. Sing it. Say it. Talk about it. It is the will of God. Make it a culture. It is the will of God. You know, I showed you, go back to that Luke chapter 17. Let's read the story fully now. I showed you, you know, something that, how Jesus healed those guys. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Why did they stand afar off? Because, of course, lepers shouldn't come close. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. You see, it was 1 out of 10. It's always like that even today. Sometimes, maybe today I'll touch issues around testimony. We come here, we shout, in Jesus' name, everybody shout amen. Do you know, when people get healed or get the miracle, it's only 1 out of 10 that always returns. To even talk about it at all. I get the point. It's always 1 out of 10. Others will see it as coincidence. Others will even forget that that kind of prayer ever happened in church. I didn't get the point. They will just see it like, it just happened now. You know, I asked, no, I do this all the time. Sometimes I ask some of my people, sometimes they come to me, say, Daddy, my mother, the head is turning and the brain is rotating. I say, she's fine in Jesus' name. We pray, agree, say amen. After 3 weeks, I will now say, how is your mother? Say, Daddy, she's now fine, though. So you remember to talk about when her brain was rotating? But now she's now fine, you won't talk about it. So that will give God thanks. Why sometimes we say sending testimonies is not so that we can feel ourselves, so we can test whether the power of God is working. It's working whether you know it or not. The reason is because we want to join you and thank God, because God deserves the thanks. He does. He deserves the praise. One of them, when he saw that he was here, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Come on. And fell down on his face at his feet. You remember, we saw some of these expressions last week when we were talking about worship. Fell down on his face at his feet, on his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, we are not 10 blessed or cleansed, but where are the 9? So you notice he said, we are not 10. So the testimony, listen carefully, the testimony was not because he wanted to test whether they were well or not. He knew 10 of them were cleansed. I didn't get the point. He said, it wasn't 10 that were. He wasn't asking. He was so sure 10 of them got healed. He said, so where are they? Of course, he told the man, he said, there are no found that return the glory to God except this stranger, except this Samaritan. Verse 19. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, that thy faith has made thee whole. You see, Jesus liked the fact that the guy came to thank. And I know, remember what I said, Jesus, you know, loved the fact that he came to thank God. So God loves it. You know, Jesus is the true character of God. God loves it when we give thanks. It even shows that we recognize that he's one that did those things for us. It shows that we recognize that they are not coincidences. Not giving him thanks, contrary to what you think, will not stop him from doing more for you. Do you understand? I'm not here to threaten you now that if you don't give him thanks, he will just withdraw all of them. No, he wouldn't. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 6, verse 35, that God is good and kind to the unthankful. Look at that. He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. So even when you are not a thankful person, God still gives you more. So he's not asking for the thanksgiving so that if you don't give me thanks, I'm not going to do more for you. No. But you see, he loves the thanksgiving. He liked the fact. He didn't tell all those guys that we are healed, because you didn't come to thank me, all of you are going to lose your healing. No. Are you getting what I'm talking about? He didn't say you're going to lose your healing. But he liked the fact that one came to give thanks. Glory to God. So God loves our thanksgiving. God loves our thanksgiving. God loves our thanksgiving. Now, say one or two things. You see, worship, praise, thanksgiving, whichever one you call it, keeps us aware of the goodness of God. Of the goodness of God. First of all, in salvation and in our everyday life, it is very easy to forget the things that God does for us. In fact, the things that God has done for us in salvation, it is very easy to forget them. It is very easy to forget the miracles God works in our life. It is this easy. How to keep, one way to keep yourself aware of those things is by thanksgiving. In Psalm 103 verse 1, we already saw that. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Notice, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. So it is by blessing the Lord that you keep yourself aware of your benefits in him. Are you following me at all? So when we come to church and we say, you know, one of the things this service should do for you is to let you know that there is nothing we do in church that is to pass time or to entertain you. The reason why there is worship session and prayer session in church is also that when we begin to sing, we are just waiting for message to come. You know, some people have a habit of coming the time when the message has come and they just enter. They just come and, I want to learn the word. What is it? Everything that goes on in church is to serve you. I don't come up stage and start singing just because I just want to feel myself like I'm a powerful singer. You notice I like singing, but you notice I cannot still sing. Nothing changes. And of course, that should tell you that this is not about whether you have a very sonorous voice or not. My worship is acceptable to God because I'm a son. Right? And it should let you know in your everyday life, you should have a culture of thanksgiving. It keeps you aware of the things that God has done for you. It reminds you of who you are. You know, every day you say, Father, thank you for redemption. Thank you for righteousness. You know it. You are knowing it. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for righteousness. Thank you for your forgiveness. And that's why in singing, we now put those things to songs. Hallelujah. You now begin to thank him because of your salvation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You begin to thank him for your salvation, for the things he has done for you. You sing things like, I sing glory to my Savior. He took my place and placed me where he is. You know that song, right? It's no longer I that lives, but let's do it again. I sing glory to my Savior.
To my Savior. He took my stead.
He took my stead.
I'm blessed.
Justified.
I am justified by you.
Yeah.
It's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me.
That's a powerful worship song. Say, I'll sing glory to my Savior.
To my Savior.
Sing it if you know it. He took my stead.
He took my stead.
And placed me where He is.
And placed me where He is.
I am justified.
I am justified by Him.
It's no longer I that lives.
He's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me.
I'm not the one living. I'm not
the one living.
Jesus lives in me.
Jesus.
I'm not the one living. I'm not
the one living.
Jesus lives in me.
Jesus lives in me. Yes, I'm justified.
I'm living forever. Sing it.
I'm living forever.
Everything you are, yeah. Cause I'm the one that you have shown mercy, and you have shown me mercy, and
you have shown me mercy.
I'm the one you have shown mercy.
I'm the one that you have shown mercy.
Come on.
You have shown me mercy.
You look past my sin.
You look past my sin, my guilt, my shame, my poison.
You look beyond me.
You look beyond me.
You look beyond me.
You look beyond me.
You look past my sin.
You look past my sin, my guilt, my shame, my poison.
You look beyond me. Sing the song, say,
I'm the one that you have shown mercy,
that you have shown me mercy,
and you have shown me mercy.
I am the one you have shown mercy.
I'm the one that you have shown mercy,
and you have shown
mercy.
You cut my heart with the truth of your love.
Still in darkness, you kept running after me. You took my place, and now I stand alone.
Yes.
Now I am without sin.
You caught my heart.
You caught my heart with the truth of your love.
If you know the song, let's sing it. Oh, still in darkness.
Still in darkness, you kept running after me.
Shamani unamasuta yadalabashadia.
You took my place.
Oh, say Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you for your love.
Yeah.
You died to show me love.
say
Jesus.
Jesus.
Now, does this sound, you notice, this sounds like the things we read in Revelation 5. Where he's talking about the things he did. You thank him for the things he did for your redemption. That's how to thank God. It keeps you aware. If that's why there are songs that must be on your lips. When we tell you, I'll touch this next week. When we tell you to play Christian songs, it's not because we are saying if you play secular song, you're going to go to hell. Whoever told you that was lying to you. I don't get the point. I've told you songs are for different purposes. But why would I tell you to fill your playlist with Christian songs? Is that listening and singing these things, they keep you aware of the things that you have. Because whatever you keep hearing and singing, that's what you remain aware of a very long time. Are you following me at all? So you begin to sing the things that we have in him. It keeps you aware. And you know, it keeps you aware of what God has done and what he has done for you in Christ Jesus. And keeps you aware of the things he has done for you. Like I said, it is very easy to forget the miracles God works for us. Very easy. If I tell you now to remember 4 different powerful miracles that God has done for you this year, you are going to think for like some minutes before you remember it. That's the point. If I ask you, name 3 of your biggest needs down your lips. Because we have a culture of not thanking God. When he thanks, don't just thank him once and stop. You say, why? Because you did not pray that prayer once. Is that not true? You kept praying, oh, until you saw it. Keep thanking him. Keep thanking him. He keeps you aware. And maybe I've gone around heard of myself to say it. It keeps you aware of the things God has done for you. And it even puts faith in your heart. Maybe I'll come to that. It's a faith booster. You know, because by the time you begin to thank God for, thank you for opening blind eyes, you are thanking him, thanking him, thanking him, thanking him. You are indirectly reminding yourself that he that did that one will do another one. Are you getting the point? And one thing that thanksgiving does to you and praise does to you is that it rids your heart of complaints and makes you content. People that complain too much don't give thanks. Okay, it takes, if you have people that always complain, know that there are people that think that everything is wrong with them. If you are like that, you have a heart full of complaints, I tell you the easy thing to do, build a culture of thanksgiving. Once you thank God more, you will stop being a complainer. Some people complain a lot. And this is one way to solve the issue of discontentment. You see people that always feel their life is not fine, they're always discontented, start thanking God. We begin to thank him deliberately for the things he has done, singing praises, worshiping him, and not just singing and enjoying the song, singing and meditating and speaking about the things he has done for you in redemption and things he has done for you every day in your life. It begins to deal with issues of discontentment. Because you know, one thing that causes discontentment is you feel nothing is working in your life. But the truth is that many things are working in your life that you've forgotten that they worked. Thanksgiving will remind you. Worship will remind you. That's why I told you, Sunday morning worship is not actually about, let's just sing and go. It's because it's a time to reflect, think of the goodness of God throughout the week. It will not be long you'll start making requests in that service. So why not thank him? Use the opportunity to thank him. The deliverances, the healings and all that, you thank him. Hallelujah. You thank him. So you praise, you worship, and you're thanking for what he has done. That's what we do. And I already said, it can be a faith booster. It can boost your faith. When you sing and talk of his might and his past wonders, you are keeping your heart in faith. One common example I use whenever I talk about this in this church is that of Abraham. Romans 4 verse 17. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done. Listen, as it is written, he said, I've made thee a father of many nations. He said, talking about Abraham, before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. He's talking about God. Verse 18, watch. Who against hope, that's Abraham, against hope,
When he says again, so believe in hope. You know what that means? By the time he was still believing, there was no reason to keep believing. There was no single reason. And come on, that's very logical. Okay, a man at 100 should not believe again to have a child. Even if he tries to believe, a woman at 90 should not believe. I didn't get the point. So there was no reason. But the Bible said, against hope, he believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According that, to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Watch this. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider them. You see how he did all these things. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So Abraham spends the time of waiting, thanking God. What to do with your time of waiting is not to complain. It's to thank God. It's to thank God. If God has given you a prophetic word, it's not time to complain. After everything, look at my life. Once you are complaining, you are going farther and farther away from the prophetic word. You know, there are some of you that the Lord says, I should say to you, when you get back today, you have something you're expecting. It's time to stop, to not pray about it this night, to take just an hour and just worship and thank God and rejoice and thank Him. Hallelujah. Thank Him. You don't have to, thank God is in your room. You don't need to know how to sing. Lock your door. Thank Him in tongues. Thank Him in English. Thank Him with singing. You are the one singing it. You are the one listening to it. God understands that. It's the voice He gave you. There's no problem. He will manage. Just sing and thank Him. Sing and thank Him. And so Abraham spent it giving glory to God. So waiting time is not complaining time. If not, you're going to talk yourself out of the miracle. Waiting time is the time to thank God. It's time to thank God. Maybe you just take some time and thank God for His miracles, for His mercies, how He has been faithful. Thank Him. Just do that. Just play on the background. I'd like you to pray, thank Him. Pick up a song in your heart and sing. A song that describes how beautiful God has been to you. Forget your neighbor. Pick up a song in your heart and just sing. And just sing a song that describes how much He has done for you this period. How much He has done for you this period. Just thank Him. Wonderful God and miracle. glorious God,
glorious God,
wonderful God,
wonderful God,
miracle worker,
miracle worker,
you are the King
of kings,
omnipotent
one,
yeah. This period, you sing songs like your name is a strong tower, Jesus. To you belong all power, Jesus. Whenever I call your name, you make a way. Your name is a strong tower. Amazing things he has done. And I heard the Lord say, stop calling those things coincidences. Thank him for them.
In different ways.
Days like this. So thank him. Just lift your voice and thank him. Miracles. It has been a culture. Every time I finish meetings and go back, I kneel down and I say, Father, thank you. This is you. Make the last point and I'll allow it to happen. You know, one more thing that praising and worshiping God does is that it makes for the manifest, what I call the manifest presence of God. Have you ever started worshiping God and then it's like his power broke out? You know, the power of God lives inside of us, but that is an expression of the power. You know, worship and praising God makes for easy flows. You know, in 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 13, maybe let's start with that. In 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 13, it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. So they began to worship, and there was a manifest presence. Don't think it's the Old Testament. These things happen. Sometimes we begin to worship, it looks like the presence is so thick. Can't you feel it? It doesn't mean the Holy Ghost is in us, the presence of God is in us. But when you begin to worship, it makes for the flow. There's a flow, yeah. There's an easy flow that comes when we begin to worship. and focus on Jesus and focus on his power and focus on his might and the things he has done, you begin to worship him. You begin to worship him. You see, in 1 Chronicles 25 verse 3, we will see how the prophetic was released just with music and all that. He says, of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah and Zeri and Jeshiah and Hashabiah and Mattithiah, 6 under the hands of their father Jeduthun, who prophesied with a harp. I like this, you know, this struck me this morning. He prophesied with a harp to give thanks and praise to the Lord. So the guy will carry a harp and begin to play the harp and give thanks to God and begin to prophesy. You see, there's something about worshiping God and praising him. It's like it aids spiritual flows. Sometimes when you want to see the power of God break into your life, shut your down and worship God. I get what I'm saying? I've seen this because just so that I'm going to worship him. You begin to see, have you noticed that sometimes you begin to worship, as you worship, as before you know, you're prophesying already. You've gotten into prophecies. I showed you one last week. You see, in 2 Kings 3, verse 13. In 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 13, you know, Elisha did not want to prophesy. In fact, he didn't even like the people that came to meet him. He said, Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with you? Why are you coming to meet me? Go to the prophets of thy father. Those go to the prophets of Baal. Go and meet them. The guy in verse 14, Elisha said, anyway, the reason I'm doing this at all, he said, if it's just because of this Jehoshaphat fast that you came with, that's what I'm even attending to you in the first place. Verse 15, he wasn't in the mood. He now said, bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of God came upon him. And that was it. We've seen this over the place. That's why, you know, sometimes when I'm done with my teaching next 2 weeks, or by the last part of this meeting, if that is, man, you know, if the Lord permits me, I'm going to lay hands on some of our players. Okay? You see, because you need to realize that I told you, anything you do with the instruments can be a skill. But once you begin to use glasses to serve God, it's no longer a skill, it's now ministry. And it takes the hand of God and the anointing of God to do ministry. I get what I'm saying. So this guy was just playing. He played the part of what came upon Elijah. Elijah began to prophesy. And so you should, you know, when we begin to worship, it looks there is a flow. That's some of the things you expect. You notice when we're worshiping, have you seen where people are just worshiping and healings are taking place? Have you seen that? Just in the worship, healings are taking place. Just in the worship, things are happening. Just in the worship, people's eyes are open. Have you ever had visions while you're worshiping? People's eyes are opening. It's even in your private, it's not just what happened in church. In your private room, make it, by the time you swing into worship, you open up a lot of things. You open up a lot of things. You know, Jesus wanted to multiply 5 loaves of bread. That's John chapter 6 from verse 5. He wanted to multiply the loaves. Bible said he lifted it up and gave thanks. And I was thinking about it this morning again. I was like, the guy did not pray. He just said, Father, thank you for this. And in that thanksgiving, the miracle happened. And things happen when we worship in church that we don't have knowledge of. We can never exhaust them. I'm telling you. And when you worship in your private room, because all the things I'm teaching is not just for you to be doing it when you go to church. These are things that you should carry on. Make praising God, worship, thanksgiving a culture. Sometimes when the road is tight for you and everywhere is tight, shut the prayer and begin to give thanks. Right. Shut everyone, begin to give thanks and begin to rejoice. Father, thank you for everything. Thank you for blessing. Thank you. Sing. Give him praise. Give him praise. The first thing that happens is your heart begins to align to what God wants to do. Because when there's a lot of problem, you are even confused in the first place. You are even disturbed. You are overburdened. You are tired. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's time to shut everything and begin to give God thanks. Thank you, Jesus. You thank you for redemption. From there, you come down to the things he has done for you in the past. If possible, as in that prayer, begin to make notes. Begin to make notes. Thanking him, this, that, and begin to thank him. Begin to thank him. And you find that you can do that at that point. You know, things begin to happen that you never expected to happen. I've seen this over time. As you see power, you see prophetic words, you see answers, you see visions. That's why you're worshiping. We see the example in Paul and Silas, for instance. They were in the prison, they were singing. seeing it, the power of God broke the chains in their hands. Sing it. When I was teaching young worship on rejoicing at Race of Acts, I showed you that the last day, you remember the last of Race of Acts? They walked around the Jericho and shouted. The Jericho wall fell. Simple. They shouted. Not shout of cry, you know, shout of joy. The thing went down. Things happen when we give God praise. Are you getting me? When we give God praise. That's why I tell you, take praise sessions and worship as important. They are not just times, for instance, in church. They are not just times to dance and dance away your sorrow. This is not a club. Are you getting me? This is not a clubhouse. You don't come to dance away your sorrow. Sorrow does not live by dancing. You don't know. It just shifts. After the dance, it comes back. Lack doesn't live by dancing. When we are singing and dancing, it's not time to dance away your sorrow. It's the time to begin to meditate and ruminate on all the things that Jesus has done for you. That's how you begin to maximize that session. And then when you are into it, you're thanking God, you're blessing Him. Expect things to break out. Expect your eyes to be open. Expect miracles to happen. Jesus says, or Paul says, we must give thanks always. That's the will of God for our lives. That's why in doing it, you are first of all being obedient to scriptures. First of all. So we begin to worship. So as we begin to worship, we're going to just take some time and worship God with some songs the Lord placed in my heart. And thank Him for the good things that He has done for you. As we do that, you should get set, because things could happen to you. Your eyes could open. Answers will be given. It's no time to pray or ask God for anything. In case you don't know, God has done a lot for us. We just see them as normal thing. If you had been passing along and you saw the Israelites shouting, you come and say, "Ah, what happened?" He said, "We just finished laying foundation for our building." You wonder what's wrong with you people. Building that have not roofed. I don't get the point. But that's how Israel is. They laid foundation. They began to dance. And thank God. There are things that have happened in your life that you call coincidence. That you call just this thing. Shout about them. Give God thanks. When the Lord turned again. You know, the problem is we want the testimony to compound. And we want to testify when we have roofed the building and packed in. Say, we roofed it, we packed in, everywhere fully furnished. Praise the Lord. It's a miracle. But it's not still more of a miracle than when you lay the foundation. It's the Lord that did all of them. Thank you. And so you thank him. I tell you, God has done great things for you. Have a culture of worshiping, praising, thanking Him. Make it a culture. And you thank Him for redemption. You thank Him for what He does in your everyday life. There is power that you release when you do that. Because you see, how is power released when I do that? I tell you this first thing, like I said, your heart is even in the right place. You know, sometimes what stops the flow of the power of God is the state of your heart. That's why when you are so bothered about this, have you ever been bothered so much that you now call me and say, pray about it, and you don't even have strength to pray? That is time to begin to give thanks and rejoice. Give thanks. Sing, thank Him. You are getting your heart set. If not, when you get to prayer, what you'll be doing in prayer is to complain. Father, look at my life now. Yeah. Has God done good things for you? When the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. He said our heart was filled with laughter. Our mouth was with laughter. And then Bob said, they thanked the Lord so much that they hid them. People outside began to say, the Lord has done great things for them. And they said, yes, it's true. The Lord has done great things for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has done great things for us. Now, one more thing. That's why we tell you, when we come to worship God, He is the one we are worshiping. Right? And so that's why when people come around and they say, when we sing, who is like unto God? You say, no, we are like God. Yes, we are like Jesus. Right? But we are worshiping Him. And in that context of that song, there is nobody like Him. For instance, you are not our Father. For instance, you did not die for us on the cross. So in that context, there's no one like him. Hallelujah. When we say among the gods, so he's like, he's among the gods, so we are talking. So he's the one you're worshiping. He's not trying to begin to say, what of me? I'm like, Jesus, just worship God. Do you understand? Just worship him. Let's stand to our feet. Let's do that song. Thank you, Father. Glorious in holiness.
Glorious in holiness.
I want everybody to sing it. Fearful in praises. Do it one more time. Who is like unto thee?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.